bringing the speeder to a sudden halt. He turned toward Plagueis once more, his face flushed with anger. Between them, dangling from the rearview mirror, was the coin Plagueis had given him. "Before long, I will own this human," Plagueis told himself. "House Palpatine is wealthy," the youth went on, "but not nearly as wealthy as some of the other houses, and not nearly as influential with the king and the electorate, despite my father's attempts to take a leadership position with the royals. He lacks the political acumen needed to elevate our house to a position of true entitlement. And along with it, the awareness to recognize that the time has come for Naboo to exploit its matchless resources and join the modern galaxy. Instead, he and his cronies, in complete and utter political ineptitude, want to keep us caged in the past."
"Does your mother share his views?"
Palpatine forced a laugh. "Only because she espouses no views of her own. Only because he has made her subservient to him, as he has my well-behaved brothers and sisters, who treat me like an interloper and yet, to my father, represent all I can never be."
Plagueis considered the remarks in silence.
"And yet you honor your house by going by its name."
Palpatine's expression softened. "For a time I thought about adopting the name of our distaff line. I haven't rejected the dynasty I was born into. I've rejected the name I was given. But not for the grandiose reasons some think. Just the opposite, actually. I'm certain that you, of all beings, understand as much."
There it was again, Plagueis thought. The deceptive cadence, the use of flattery, charm, and self-effacement as if rapier feints in a duel, the need to be seen as guileless, unassuming, empathetic. A youth with no desire to enter politics, and yet born for it. Tenebris had told him from the start that the Republic, with help from the Sith, would continue to descend into corruption and disorder, and that a time would come when it would have to rely on the strengths of an enlightened leader, capable of saving the lesser masses from being ruled by their unruly passions, jealousies, and desires. In the face of a common enemy, real or manufactured, they would set aside all their differences and embrace the leadership of anyone who promised a brighter future. Could this Palpatine, with Plagueis' help, be the one to bring about such a transformation? Again, he tried to see deeper into Palpatine, but without success. The psychic walls the youth had raised were impenetrable, which made the young human something rare indeed. Had Palpatine somehow learned to corral the Force within himself, as Plagueis had concealed his own powers as a youth?
"Of course I understand," he said finally.
"But when you were young, did you question your motivations? Especially when they ran counter to everyone else's?"
Plagueis held his challenging gaze.
"I never asked why this or why that, what if this or what if that. I simply responded to my own determination."
Palpatine sat back in the speeder seat, as if a great weight had been lifted from him.
"Some of us are required to do what others cannot," Plagueis added, in a conspiratorial way.
Without a word, Palpatine nodded.
Plagueis had no need to delve any further into whatever traumas had given rise to Palpatine's cunning, secretive nature. He simply needed to know,
does this young human have the Force?